name is Deb Quintel, and I'm with Callie, and I'm sitting today with Professor Bill Anderson from the University of Washington School of Law. Welcome.
Thank you.
Today we're going to be talking about the Dormant Commerce Clause, and I know you've written a Callie lesson in this area, and maybe you could start out by telling us a little bit about the lesson, if you would, Professor Anderson.
I'd be delighted. The lesson, for those who've looked at it, is a lesson about a whole cluster of doctrines: Dormant Commerce Clause, preemption, privileges and immunities, various kinds of doctrines that are part of the system we've devised to deal with conflict between a central and local governments, between the national government and the state governments. And this is a topic that is very hot today in Europe as they're trying to forge a constitution for the European Union. It's hot in Iraq because they're trying to figure out how to deal with some national matter and still leave some of the local tribes players in the political process. Every group that has a central power and then real power lodged at the local level, we call a federal system, and that's what we've got. And it is conflicts between those two governments that we need to resolve. And the Dormant Commerce Clause and the preemption doctrines and the privilege and immunities doctrines are all parts of the system by which we in this country resolve these conflicts, mostly through judicial action. We could have it done by the legislature, we could have it done by a king, we could have it done by some other system. And our system is focused in the courts, and that's because there's so many of these conflicts that occur in so many different ways, so many different contexts. There's just too many of them for the legislature to deal with, although the national legislature has power to deal with them under the Supremacy Clause, but they've not dealt with them very much and has left it to the courts to sort those out. And the doctrines the courts have invented, like the Dormant Commerce Clause, which has no reference in the constitutional text at all, are doctrines designed to permit the courts to resolve these conflicts. And the reason for the program was these different doctrines in the cluster get tangled up and overlap and are not always easy to see how they relate to each other. And the purpose of this program is simply to try and make that set of relationships clear with some case examples and some text discussion. But basically the flowchart, the program does, shows you when you ask the preemption question, when you ask the Dormant Commerce Clause question, when you ask the privileges and immunities question, and they're all sort of sequenced in there in a way that makes it a little easier to figure out what the parts are. The most recent example of conflict between state and federal governments is a decision this week in June of 2005, the Gonzales case, which was just handed down by the Supreme Court, which says that the federal government may preempt the states from regulating the medical use of marijuana. Just another in a long, long chain of examples of places where the states have one view, the national government has another view, they conflict, and the citizen has to have some way to have that resolved. So this goes on. It's been going on since 1787 when the Constitution was adopted, and as we move from decade to decade and era to era, the questions change in terms of what kinds of things we're talking about. States regulate train lengths? Yes. Can they regulate truck lengths? No. Can they regulate all kinds of things that might have interstate implications? And as the economy gets more interdependent economically because of the growth in technology and communication and transportation, where almost everything that happens within a state is going to have some impact outside the state, this just gets more and more complicated. So this program is designed to show the parts of this system of doctrines by which we regulate that conflict.
Do you think there's any specific way that you would suggest to your students that they study the Dormant Commerce Clause?
It's hard to generalize. The students have so many different ways of coming at these things, I've learned over the years, that it's kind of hard to generalize. I think if somebody looks at this program and says this is a substitute for reading all those hard cases, they're just flat out wrong, because this program is not, there's not much information in it as such. There's some case digests, but they're very short. This is a program that some students might find useful at the beginning of their study of the problem to get an idea, get their bearings. Some students will find it more helpful at the end of their study of the problem to sort of recapitulate and organize the thoughts that they've generated. Some will find it useful in the middle.
Is it more of an analytical framework?
Basically, it's an analytical framework. It's a flow chart that shows which questions get asked when, with some case examples in each case. So, and some students may not find it useful at all. I mean, some students that are not graphically oriented in the graphic flow chart may leave them mystified. So I would say to a law student, if you like graphic presentations, if it helps you clear your head a little bit about the relationship between the pieces, you might take a look at this, and some of you might find it helpful at the beginning, some might find it helpful at the end, but in no case will it be a substitute for reading the cases, because that's where all the real stuff is.
So any final tips for students as they approach this topic? As you say, it's been conflict since the beginning of time.
I think one tip I would give is that in reading the cases and thinking about the doctrines, be attentive to the dates of the cases, because in one era there'll be a big thing about railroads, in another era there'll be a big thing about medical marijuana, in another era there'll be something else, and you can't always transpose a case from 20, 50, 100 years ago to today's setting without thinking about potential differences in the facts and the context. I mean, if in 1850 it said there's no connection between local activity and interstate activity on this matter, so the states can go ahead and regulate it, and in 2005, it's clear that with the growth in communications and transportation technology, stuff that happens here does affect interstate commerce. You have to be attentive to those factual differences. But I think paying attention to the dates of the cases and being careful about fine fact discrimination is really, I think, the underlying secret of this, once you get the analytical steps clear.
That sounds good. Thank you very much, Professor Anderson. I appreciate your time today.
More than welcome.